welcome all of you to the extension lecture of end of life care. Just to revive your memory, I put this slide. When you break the news, they can get a shock. Then you collapse in the unconscious, hypotension. Then there is denial. It is not me, it's not my diagnosis, somebody else's diagnosis, some jumble up with the names and slides. And after accepting that, there's anger, there's some blame game is there. Because of you, you didn't take me to doctor. I told you I had these complaints. That time you would have taken, then this diagnosis wouldn't have been there. That settles down, that okay, then there's bargaining. Please do this, please do that, please pray, please take the highest medicine, please take my 5 lakh rupees and do the needful. And that also fails because you do everything but still the cancer goes on increasing. Then you get depressed. The doctor has told you that you have 3 months, but the patient says, I want to die today only. That is a symptom of depression. He doesn't want to even live those 3 months also. But then we handle that depression and then patient goes into acceptance. And nonetheless, even if he's in denial, anger, bargaining or depression, our care has to continue. The best care is given only when patient is in acceptance. For example, I had one. You may be knowing Dr. Mukund Shanbag, who is our chief dentist. His mother-in-law was diagnosed with cancer. And that is the best case we handled up till now. Because the mother who had cancer and her son, her daughter-in-law, her daughter, her son-in-law, everybody was, her husband, everybody was in acceptance. So we did the best thing. You know what we did? I went and talked to her. Then she had desire to go to holy places. Now I want to remind you about the subject called advance directives. Advance directives are extremely important. When somebody is declared as a terminal case, he has many leftover desires. He has, see, before I die, I want to go to Bangalore to meet my grandmother. I want to go to Vrindavan. I want to go to Dwarka. I want to go to Amarnath, whatever. So the palliative care physician has to learn to actually elicit those advanced directives. Find out by, you know, ODQ, on direct questioning. We need to find out what all things are there. And then the doctor and the medical team has to decide what is all possible. Patient may be so bedridden, so morbid that he may not be transported by airlines or anything. So out of making 17 lists, for example, you have to say 7 not possible, simply impossible, 10 are possible. In the course of time, we will decide as per the situation. And then one more session has to be there, how those 7 are not possible. They should be convinced, na? He says, no, take me, I'm ready to come, I'll cooperate with you. But practically, it's not possible. So one more session, after the one session of making the advance directive, to tell 7 not possible, and then you have to plan how to do the 10, how it is possible. So in that case, she had desire to go to 2 places, to Vrindavan and to Mayapur. So looking at her health situation with medications and everything in preparation, we took her to Vrindavan, took her to all places with all the due rest in between she required, all the food items, all the place which is simply clean, wonderful. Then we had a gap of about 1 week. Then we went to Mayapur in Kolkata, and there we had, there she little worsened. So in between we had to take 1 day rest. She came back here and she was very happy that she could do this pilgrimage before she goes. And then she went on worsening day by day. And she had furthermore desires to meet Guru Maharaj, to meet so many people. And all those were fulfilled with the plan of the medical team and the family members. And finally, it was like miraculously arranged that her Guru Maharaj came to her house, you know. Accidentally, suddenly she came. And he said, I have only 5 minutes. But somehow, she was so sincere that she got 1 hour with her Guru Maharaj. And all that she wanted to ask, final questions about life and further life and everything, she asked, and she was so happy. She was that time not even able to move. But her desires were fulfilled. And in a very, very beautiful way, she passed away. That means she had all preparation, all acceptance, all gratitude, and she desired to hear the holy name. She desired to have family members next to her, and she passed away. That means There's no grudge that, oh, this didn't happen, oh, that didn't happen. Everything was squared one. Completely accepted, this can't be done, this is done, and I'm grateful. And finally, taking the name of the Lord, very intensely surrounded by people who are praying for her intensely, she passed away. Very, very peaceful, calm pace. So this acceptance is very important. And the medical team has to constantly work towards acceptance. Sometimes, if you don't get acceptance, or you may get acceptance only from husband's side. He is ready that she is going to go. But she and others are not accepting. Some are angry, some are bargaining mood, some are very depressed. You are useless, they can't do anything. They are just simply crying and crying and crying. Mama is going, mama is going. So all these different people at different stages of grief, we need to keep on handling and help the patient to recover. And I mean progress towards the final journey. Now, why do we do all this end-of-life care? So much, you know, discussion, so much in-depth analysis, what to do, how to do. Because there is pain in patient. And patient really suffers. And the terminal patient has got lot of pain. It is not necessarily physical pain only, which is also tremendous. But financial pain is there, family pain is there, social pain is there. So many other issues are there. That is one thing. Then the pain of death itself, that is itself is a very fearful situation. Somehow, I was hearing a class of one of the gurus on the science of death. And what he was saying was that palliative care science is meant to take away that fearful aspect from death. This is always visualized as a ghastly, unpleasant, full of fear, unknown, you know, tension, all this kind of, it's viewed in a very negative way. But by efforts, the event of death can be viewed as a natural phenomenon, because it is natural phenomenon. As much as death is natural phenomenon, death also is natural phenomenon. Just the people's approach, attitude towards is so negative, that's why it creates a big taboo, sometimes more than necessary. So the goal of palliative care is somehow to help them to come to a situation, to terms with the natural transition, so that they accept and they part, they go away from here in a very dignified, in a very respectable manner. Sometimes in a happy manner also, because now that lady whom I handled, Dr. Mukund Sanba's mother-in-law, she was so grateful. She was not sorry. She was so thankful that everything was of hers for fulfilled nicely, and she could take it nicely, she could get ready for departure, and she knew departure is coming closer. Everything was known to her. So you and me also should be in that stage. Not that we give death care, but finally we do all the chaotic situations we create for ourselves. No, I don't want to go. No, I'm not ready to die. I want to live. I want to see my daughter's wedding. All those things we should not do. Because the most important thing about death is it is not known to you. If you want to go to America, you know, on 15th of September, your flight is there. So you can prepare properly, buying bags, everything, filling bags. But death, there is no announcement, you know. Nobody is so fortunate that he will be announced on this particular date. So you have all time to prepare. Some rough idea is there, but no one knows. That's the biggest aspect about it. Now, if you know that is uncertain, one should prepare for that uncertainty also. You don't know what the essay question going to come to your MD examination, right? Essay question. So you can't just keep crying about it. Pata nahi, kaun sa aayega question. You have to know, okay, it is an uncertain question. You have to be prepared for that. You have to prepare many topics so that any uncertainty can become certain and you will be lucky person. So life may, there are many uncertain things. You don't know what kind of wife you will get, what kind of husband you will get. But still you deal with it. No, you just don't give up because you don't know, right? So that is pain of death itself. One has to educate oneself. What is this death? What kind of pain is there? How to deal with that pain? Then there is pain of losing near and dear ones. There is a pain, I am going to go, but I am going to lose my mother, I am going to lose my wife, my child, my husband, my friends, my god brothers, god sisters. Then fear of future after death. Kya hoga? What will I become after death? All those questions become relevant when you are near death. Right now, I discuss with young people like you, what will be your next birth, what will you be, you'll laugh, you know, it's like, it's irrelevant now. But when death comes closer, all becomes relevant, everything becomes relevant. And whether God is angry with me, whether my karma is not good, whether I'll go to hell or heaven. These are all questions. You may feel they are irrelevant. What is to do with my medicine and pediatrics? But when you are dealing with people in your ICUs, in NICU, the relatives keep asking you these questions. Although you don't know, you may not be a very spiritual person, but they keep asking you because you are the only people in front of them in those days of that terminal situation. So I'm not saying that you should be pandit in answering all these questions, but at least you should be aware and not get irritated or exhausted or frustrated with all these questions. Arey, mera kaam to IV dene ka hai, oxygen dene ka hai. Why they're asking me where I'm going to go to hell or heaven? How do I answer this question? I'm not equipped with the answer. Instead of getting frustrated, you can say something else and divert the patient's attention. At least know what is he in, what are his anxieties. Now, why we should study this end of life care? Even if you say ki mujhe kuch karna nahi, somebody else will handle that. But what about you? You do get distressed when your 1500 gram baby dies after 3 days of all the hard work that you do. Doctors go in depression, they take break for 2 days, they can't come to the NICU again. Or same with the ICU also, elderly patients, when they die after so much of efforts, there's a bond which develops between you and the patient, some emotional bond develops. And when this mishap happens, then you also go in depression. So emotional distress. Doctors, I must have told you the example of Lokmanya Hospital in Nigdi. We were establishing a department of spiritual care there. And they said that, sir, humko na spiritual activity pehle ER mein chahiye. Because their hospital was on the highway. And their ambulances would be parked at about 10 kilometers distance on the highway. And they were given the authority by government ki you handle these emergencies. So every single day there will be 25-30 cases of accidents of Pune-Mumbai highway in that clinic. And they said ki our doctors sometimes give up ki nahi aayenge kal se kaam pe. They would be so bogged down with negativity, constant blood, constant fractures, constant head injuries, constant, you know, broken in limbs, and you have to join them. So many things are vascular surgery, orthopedic surgery, general surgery, abdomen, you know, so many things are there. So, sir, sabse pehle aapko wo kaam karna padega. So, medical people like you and nurses do get exhausted when they repeatedly see deaths. And pediatrics and medicine are two branches which require ICU and NICU. So you will be subjected. You cannot say, no, I'll become an OPD physician. I'll become an OPD pediatrician. That you cannot do. You will be taken there. So many a times there is physical illness for the treating personnel. There is exhaustion. There is depression also. And doctors do go to psychiatrists. It's not something like you got mad. But you need to handle that stress that you have gone through. And then the last thing is very important. You couldn't answer their questions. They kept on asking, sister, doctor, but you couldn't answer the question. Why God is doing this with me? And I don't know. And I feel sad. I could have answered him, but I couldn't. So that sadness also is there. Why study death? To prepare to face such situations. Yours and my profession is endowed with these facts. You cannot deny. In my profession, death will not be there. I'm a skin specialist. In my profession, no death occurs. Yes, good. But when pediatric comes, orthopedic comes, general surgery comes, gynecology comes, there are deaths. There are deaths. So you need to prepare. It is not only important to study all the emergency medicine, critical care medicine, intensive care medicine. You also need to know how to handle this human aspect of it. You also need to be composed. You cannot keep collapsing when such thing happens. Maybe in the first time when you go in NICU as just new, fresh PG student, you may faint sometimes. Or as a first MBBS student, when you go to the anatomy dissection lab, you may faint. Just see the limbs and everything. But gradually you get used to it. You don't try every time. You don't faint every time. So you need to get composed. Why you need to be composed? Because you are the only people there, you need to have the capacity to console your patients and their relatives when this unwanted event happens. Why I'm saying again, you, because you are the only people there. There's no social people around there. When this thing happens, only you and the relatives are there. So they are bound to pour on you all their emotions. So if you are composed, then you can help them. to console them. And it's an art. It's not that you just are born with the training. You need to learn that, how to handle. And it will happen. You may go to private practice, or you may have a private nursing home. These things will happen, and they will ask you only. Why people burn the hospital sometimes and stone the hospital and then stone the doctors and, you know, harm them, beat them up? Because they do not get that vent out. They are not answered properly. They have questions, they are agitated, and they need to be answered very nicely. And doctors are not trained for that. That's why they get hit. Because they speak something nonsense at times, irrelevant, and something which is angering. So, and third thing, we need to offer the true help to the soul. See, finally you console, talk, counsel, everything. But the purpose of end-of-life care is to help the soul to connect with the Lord. That is our understanding. That is much subtler and much deeper. So that when you do that with all this chaotic situation, you remember that I need to help the soul, then the soul will be helped. Maybe there are different family situations, financial situations, social situations, agitation, everything is there. Still, it has got nothing to do with the soul which is passing away. His goal is, mera kya hoga? Where I'll be going next? The relatives are fighting, you know, whatever they are doing. He has to go. He is spirit of all these things. So we have to help him out. Before this, I will like to explain to you the qualities of the person who can give end-of-life care. He may be medical, he may not be a medical person. But all those people who somehow or other come across death, the subject of death physically, practically in life, they need to be qualified for this. So who is qualified? I'll go quickly through the thing. He has to be learned. Learned in what? In the science of death, what we are discussing today. He should be aware. He should be serious and grave. He cannot be light-minded, joking person. He has to be grave, because the topic is very grave. You are dealing with very serious matter. Then, at the same time, he has to be gentle. He cannot be rough, because you are in a tense situation, you start talking harshly. You have to maintain your gentleness all the time. He has to have compassion. He or she has to be having compassion, and he should feel concerned about the situations, about the people who are going through. Because we can never imagine, unless my mother or my father or my brother dies, what we go through. Or I go to ICU and I get terminal disease, what happens? I don't know. But we have to learn by empathy, by compassion. One has to be mature enough, because it requires lot of intelligence to deal with different situations which are not all documented and pit-pat. No, 51 emotions are given that will handle. You will come up with your own situation. So you have to be very mature. Next is fearless. Because when death comes, if you are not well versed with the knowledge and experience, you will feel fearful of it many times. But the end of life care giver cannot be fearful. Then he cannot do his service. He cannot do the seva. So he has to be fearless. How can one be fearless? Anyone answer from you? Yes? Quick multiple choice question. How to become fearless? You think this is needed to know, how to become fearless? Fear is important aspect in your life. Yes, it is true. Two things can be done for the fear. One is knowledge. Most of the fears are because of ignorance. So first is knowledge. And second is taking shelter of the Lord. That is the only place at the lotus feet of the Lord which gives you fearlessness. Abhaya charana ravindare. So two things you remember. Knowledge will be taking you out of fear, and taking shelter of the Lord, his lotus feet. So then is fearlessness. Then spiritual substance. So see, the whole activity is to be done to the soul through the medium of body. But actually body is going to go away, and the soul is going to travel further to next destination. So the soul has to be helped. So you need to have some spiritual power to help the soul. If I want to help you financially, I should have the financial power to help you. If I'm a pauper, I cannot help you financially. I understand the need in you, but I don't have that power. I cannot give you. So if I want to help somebody spiritually, I don't have spiritual substance in me. How do I help him? So, ideally speaking, the end-of-life caregiver has to be a spiritual person, a practicing spiritual person. He has to have some formula which he practices every single day. and the most important formula is to chant the holy name every day. Then he develops that substance within him, that required compassion, the gentleness, the fearlessness. All these things come about when you do a spiritual practice. Then faith and love. If you don't have faith only in this end of life care, why would you do it? You can't do it mechanically. You can't help soul mechanically. So we have to have some faith in what we are doing. It's true. You may feel kidhar wo death hota hai, kya kisne dekha hai, next life kya hai, all this thing you may say. I just don't believe in all these things. I don't believe in God only. So the whole process becomes useless. So you must have faith. And why love? Because the person doesn't relate to you at all. He is nobody to you. He's not your brother or sister to have. But when you become spiritually oriented, you develop natural compassion and love for everybody. Vasudhaiva kutumbakam. What happens is you have your family, you love your family. But gradually by spiritual advancement, you understand that it is God's family that I belong to. And everybody is my brother and sister. And then it goes further to animals and birds and reptiles also. All living entities. Vasudhaiva kutumbakam. Sarva bhuteshu. To all the living entities. And the spiritual care person who gives end of life care, maybe a doctor or nurse, has to be committed and responsible for whatever he's doing. He can't just say, 5 p.m., I'm punching out. My duty is over, I cannot do this. Because death doesn't come with appointment and announcement. So one has to be ready to do this service. Like, for example, if you're a gynecologist and somebody registers with you for delivery, you have to be committed to that. You can't say, I'm going on vacation for Diwali when you're EOL, what is that called? EOD, no? Expected date of delivery, EDD. When your EDD comes, I'm in Bangalore with my vacation. So she will say, now only I will change. So you have to be committed. If you take the ANC patient, you have to be committed toward delivery. All time may not be cesarean and planned. You should also aim for normal deliveries, which is little rare nowadays. People plan for cesarean only, so that they are all free. And last is composed and undisturbed. There are people, you know, in the middle of chaos, they remain very cool. So some people are God gifted. You know that mother is crying, beating her chest. Another sister is falling almost unconscious because of hypotension, and father is miserable, son is beating his chest. And you have to console everybody, remaining cool and composed, and give your love and compassion and cool everybody down. There are many people in the hospital like that. Somehow because of 20 years of experience, my department ladies are very experienced. They go in the middle of any situation where one death, dead body, and many people are crying. They go in that and they console everybody very nicely. Somehow they transform the atmosphere into a spiritual atmosphere. They make them pray. They convince them that crying will not help their departing soul. He needs your prayers. He needs your prayers. By the way, you should know one thing. When the person dies, that means the soul leaves the body, right? At that time, the only thing that the departing soul needs is the prayers from the beloveds. Your crying, your tears, your doctor's expertise, your money, your position, nothing is required by that soul. He's already departed. And the departed soul is not fully left also. He's loitering around there only. So it is given in the scriptures that he is thanking all those people who are praying for him to God to get him spiritual strength for the onward journey. Like you need to send somebody to Yase, Pune. You need to put petrol in the car. So the car can reach Pune, otherwise car will break down on the road. So that fueling, spiritual fueling, is prayers. So do not forget, if things happen in your family somewhere, do not forget to tell everybody to pray right now. So prayers are very important. Okay. So this is the description given in Bhagavad Gita. Avidya vinayena sampanne brahmana gavihastini chuni chaiva supakecha pandita samadarshina. See this. This is death. He has died. And all the family is crying. So what he is seeing, the picture is not very clear, but each and every person, there is a spark of the soul. So this person, when he goes into giving care, he doesn't see them as mother, father, dead or not dead. He sees them as spirit, soul, part and parcel of the Lord. He has got samadrushti. Panditaha samadarshinaha. He doesn't differentiate. He is always looking at the spiritual angle of the situation. Then you see, Brahmana Gavi Hastini. That means what? This person is watching the dog caretaker, the elephant caretaker, the Brahmin and the cow. Brahmana Gavi. Brahmana means Brahman, this boy. Gavi means guy. Hastini and Shuni, Chaiva, Swapakecha. Shuni means dog. Swapak is the caretaker of dog, Chandal. What is he seeing? He is seeing in the heart of everybody the presence of the Lord. You can see? You can see here? That is called Samadushti. So he is not differentiating. He is not saying he is elephant not important, he is human being more important. His drishti is sama, and that comes only by knowledge and practice of spirituality. So this is what I wanted to tell you. We may not be that perfect definition, but at least we should know, na? What is required. I can understand I lack in this, I am good in this, I am lack in this, I have to work on this. This particular death care I failed in this, next time I want to really work on this. Because you know, a time will come when something will happen to your family only and you will say, oh, I didn't care about those deficiencies I had. I wish I could have that time taken seriously. So when is the time to prepare? During the war or before the war? Yes, tell me. If you sweat in peace, you will bleed less during the war. That is a statement given in armies. If you sweat during peace, then there is no war now, but you are sweating, you are preparing, really training yourself. If you train yourself in peace time, you will bleed less during the war time. Similarly, all these things have to be learned when there is no death around you, so that you can use them when death comes around you, right? Okay. So, and we also discuss about these things. There are 5-6 things required to give death care. They're like, you know, things used. The holy name, the holy leaves of Tulsi, the holy water, the intense prayers, reading from scriptures and relatives. Which are the two things which are always with you in this? Yes, Neha, can you tell me? Which are the two things are always with you wherever you go? You can use them immediately in death care. You may not have Tulsi leaves with you. I may be on the road. Holy name and the prayers. They are always there with you. You are carrying your heart with you. So your tongue can recite the holy name and your heart can offer prayers. The rest all things are very important. Relatives are so important. Scriptures may not be there with you. Or you may be there with you. You can use it to read. Yeah? Okay. Now I will tell you two stories. One story is this story. Huh? This was not mentioned to you last time. There is one slide which shows what happens at death. For revision for you, video of life. Last time we discussed this. Video of life is shown to you. Then the sum total of consciousness prevails. Whatever you are attached to most, whether money, whether sex, whether greed, whether women, whether whatever it is, wherever you have put your heart into, the most attached to, those things come up as a prominent emotion at that time. If you are too attached to money, you will say money, money, my money, my money, like that. If you are too attached to family, you will remember those names of family members. This is commonly seen. Like I gave example of that house getting fire. The mother has gone to market and there is a 2 months baby in the house and the 80-year-old grandfather in the house. So what will you remember first? Everybody says baby only because you think that baby is important. But some people may say father is important. Some people may have unwanted baby. And they may attach to, I am just example giving to you, that whatever you are attached to will come to you first in the mind in the crisis situation. And death also is crisis. So when the crisis comes in front of you, what you remember is you are most attached to, oh, my money, oh. Suppose the old man is not there and the young baby also is not there and the house is on the fire. What will you remember? Immediately when you see house on fire, you may remember the cupboard where all the papers are there. All your property papers, your vehicle papers, your insurance papers, your investment papers, everything is there. First thing you will not see, my sofa, my king size bed which I just purchased last week only. You will say that cupboard, will it be saved or not? Can it retrieve the cupboard? At least I'll lose the house but get the insurance. So, sum total. And the third thing is struggle. Fourth thing which I didn't mention to you last time, which I request you to believe at the moment of time, but we have seen practical experiences. That is, you see the messengers of death just before departure. In fact, our Dr. Komal Dalal, She has handled so many patients where patients tell, "Madam, don't go, huh? Because when you are there, na, they don't come. They sit far away. When you leave, na, they start coming. See, see, there he's sitting on the window. He's sitting on the window. So who is sitting on the window? How does he look?" Says, "He has a big, big teeth. He's got red, red eyes, red hair, very horrible, ghastly looking. I feel very scared. They come at any time. They come in the morning. They come in the evening. That means I know I have to go now. They have come to take me." Our dear director, Dr. Sankhe, when he was in ICU, when he was about 8 years, 10 years old, he had seen these four Yamdutas. And that time he was not a devotee. He was very scared, but he got cured, he came out. And then when he joined Hare Krishna, Krishna Consciousness Movement, he read the descriptions in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the exact description, he remembered he had seen everything when he was childhood. So he has firm faith. What was told is not wrong. So, many of the people who have worked in KM Hospital, they have said that patients say, "Bolte ki, ale, 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 hey, 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 aage, 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 bachao, bachao, bachao." And they pass stolen urine and they die immediately. So, what are they seeing? So, scriptures say they are seeing the messengers of death who come to take you, take us. Okay? So, see, so this is the person whose story we are talking about. Okay, his name is Ajamil. Ajamil was a Brahmin by birth, very nice Brahmin, very practicing Brahmin, very humble, nice, subservient, nice wife, children, everything was very good, devotional, spiritual. One day he was in the forest and he was coming back with the wood. He saw a prostitute doing some nonsense activities with a man in jungle. He just happened to see. But he was so enamored by that prostitute and the activity, you know, just like he was kindled. And he was so agitated. He went home. He couldn't stand at home. He just put the wood down and went back in forest. Found the prostitute and said, "I want to marry you. I want to marry you." She was a prostitute. She just got married with him. Went along with him. He threw his wife away. He threw his children away. He chased his parents away. Because, you know, prostitute, when he comes home, what do you expect? Started doing robbery, he started looting people to fulfill her desires, to satisfy his desires. And then he begot 10 children from this prostitute. And prostitute was still doing prostitute business and still living with him also as a wife. 10th time when she was pregnant, some sadhus came to her house. And he said, Sadhu said, "If you want to stay in your house for some time." He said, "My husband is not there, so I don't know how to host you. So I'm also a prostitute, it's not good for me to serve you because you are pure people." Somehow she said that. Now the sadhus were very learned, they could sense everything. So they said, "Keep the name of this child as Narayan when the child is born." Itna bolke wo chale. In the course of time, the lady gave birth to the 10th boy, 10th child, who is a boy. So as she remembered, she kept the name as Narayan. Narayan means the name of the Lord. Narayana, the shelter of all men. And then this man, who is now 80-year-old, was so attached to that small boy. So Narayan, Narayan, come here, there, come here, sit here, eat, sleep, do that, Narayan, Narayan. Constantly he was talking Narayan only. Then moment of death came. And as soon as moment of death came, he saw these four people, very horrible looking. And they were like, this is all symbolic, huh? This is soul. And they are pulling the soul out of the body by ropes. Just to tell you, they have put a picture of a human being. But actually what is coming out is, the soul is being pulled out by the Yamadutas, wherever they have to take. So when he was being pulled by these ghastly looking people, he said, "Narayan," out of his habit. He was not calling God, but out of his habit he called Narayan. And as soon as he called Narayan, these four beautiful people came there. Very beautiful, blue-colored, forearm, having Shankha Chakra Padma Gada. They said, "Stop! You cannot take this soul." So they said, "Who are you? We are Yamdutas. We are come from Yama's abode. Our right is to pull people. We have got summons. We have got a full right address. We have got everything perfect. Summons hai hamare paas. You have got a warrant. You cannot stop us. They said, no, you cannot stop. He said, who are you? He said, we are the messengers of Vishnu coming from Vaikuntha. He said, we never saw you. Who are you? Somehow, by argument, by prowess, whatever you say, they defeated these four people. And they chased them away. And they also went away. Not that they took the soul out with them. They just saved this particular person, Ajamil, from getting snatched away by the messengers of death. And you can imagine, this poor fellow is watching like this. They are saying something, they are saying something. It's like a tug of war going on. And he was wondering who will win. If they win, I go to hell. If these people win, I get saved. So he was so tense. He was praying, they should win, they should win. And finally they won. So he was saved. With such a ghastly experience, he immediately left all sinful activities. And he resumed his prayerful spiritual life immediately, because he understood, my God, what I went through. So he resumed back his spiritual life, again came on the track, perfected his life, and again moment of death came. And that time he was constantly chanting the Lord's name. So these four guys didn't come that time at all. Only these four guys came again, and they took him back to Godhead, to Vaikuntha. In the meantime, these four people, unexpectedly defeated by unknown people, never happened before, they went to their master Yamaraj and they asked, what is this? What happened today? They narrated everything. Yamaraj is fully knowledge. He said, yes, you don't know, because till now you are going to only people who are sinful. But today, first time you came across a person who chanted the name of the Lord, I must educate you. Here onward you should know, you are not entitled to go any place where there is name of the Lord being chanted. Any place where death is happening and Tulsi is next to that. Any place where Tulsi is offered to the people who are dying. Any place where Mother Ganga's holy waters are offered to the people who are dying. And wherever there are devotees of Vishnu surrounding the dying person, you cannot even enter far area from that place. Dur dur se bhi aap wahan par ja sakte nahi. So they were educated. They had right to get educated. So they were educated. So what we learn from that? And why do we do death care? Because the messengers of death do not come in the arena where there is holy name being chanted, where Tulsi is being offered, where Tulsi is present, where Gangajal is being offered. They are ordered. It's not their jurisdiction. Now see the next slide. He is the same person who you see there dying. Now, when he died, actually died, they came with a vimana, they came with the aeroplane of Vaikuntha, and they welcomed him. He has already transformed into spiritual body. He is no more an old man, you know, like with grey hair and completely emaciated. The soul assumed the spiritual body, and he was welcomed on the chariot to singing songs and blowing conchs. He was taken back to Godhead. This story comes in the 6th canto of Bhagavatam. Very instructive. The importance of the holy name, the importance of remembering the holy name at the moment of death, and what happens at death. So why we should know this? Because these four people, messengers of death, you are not going to see. Only that person is going to see, who is supposed to be departing. And depending on his karma, they will come. If they have got a lot of big account of sinful activities, they will come. Their job is to pick them up and take them to Lord of Death. But anything spirituality you have done, they will not come. Because then you have next life to complete your Neha, what is that? Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yogo Vrashta Vijayate. You have not completed. You will take another life to complete. So they will not be carried by messengers of death. They will be carried by these four people only to the next life, as either it is in devotees' family, Vaishnava family, or learned family, to complete from wherever they are left, from there they will take on and complete their mission of life. Till that time they will be travelling with these four people. May not be taken to Vaikuntha. Finally, when they'll be ready, they'll be taken to Vaikuntha. Okay? So when patient shouts now, hare, they have come, they have come. Ale ale, they aage, aage, wo aage, aage, bacha, 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 bacha. You should know what they are saying. You should very well know. How do you chase them away? You don't see them. Patient is seeing them. He's shouting. How do you actually chase those people away? Yes, I just told you, chant the holy name. Chant the holy name immediately. Take the Lord's name immediately. They cannot stand when the name vibration is around. They will have to run away. Okay? Like my mother used to tell me, jab bhi dar lagega na, Ram naam lena. In the andhera, wherever there is darkness, you get fearful, take the name of the Lord Ram. Because fear personified runs away when we take the name of Lord Ram or Krishna or Supreme Lord. So, now I'll go to next story. The time is short. Okay, some pictures about Mother Ganga. This is Mayapur Ganga in West Bengal. This is also Ganga. And this is Tulsi. These two are very important ingredients. In Garuda Purana, it is explained that Tulsi is so powerful. If Tulsi touches any glass of water, any reservoir of water, any matka of water, all the holy rivers enter in that water. And whoever drinks that water gets purified. So at the last moment of life, what you do is take a glass of water, any glass of water, pick up one Tulsi and put in that. And that water is sprinkled over the body of a patient. Make him drink if he is okay. If he is on ventilator, don't make him drink. But put it on his forehead, on the chest, and sprinkle on him. And when he dies, then let people put that water in the mouth by a spoon or by Tulsi stalk. Put it in the mouth and offer prayers for him. These are important ingredients. Okay. Now, this is what we want to tell you is the one of the ideal departures. Who is he? This is Bhishma Dev. What was the advance directive in Bhishma's life? Yes, you may tell. What was the advance directive in Bhishma's life? So, what is advance directive? The desires to be fulfilled of a dying person before death. That is called advance directive. So, what was the desires to be fulfilled for Bhishma before death? Ichha maran to vardhan to pehle se mila tha usko. He had the boon to die at his will right from his youth. But what was his desire? He had a desire to die in the presence of the Lord. That is why he could have died as per his own will when he was put on the bed of arrows, when he was shot and he was, you know, made to fall down. That time only he could have died by his own will. But because of he had the power to sustain his life as per his will and not leave, why he was not leaving? See, he left on 9th day of battle. On the Ekadashi day of that month, war began. What is the 9th day after that? 20th day. That means Panchami of the next fortnight. Right? Then Makara Sankranti, he died. So almost 45 days he was on the battle. What was he waiting for? He was waiting for two things. He wanted Yudhishthir to become king. Why he was living all the while? So many generations he saw, no? 1, 2, 3. Chitrangad, Vichitravirya, then Dhritarashtra, Pandu and Vidur, then Pancha Pandava, Kauravas. 3-4 generations he saw fighting with each other like anything crazily. No proper king on the throne. So what was he living for? He was living for seeing that a nice, proper, reliable king sits on that throne so he can live. Because he had taken a vow, I will guard that throne. I will not become king, but I will guard that throne. I will see that no harm comes to the nation, to the country. So two things he had advance directives. Two things. One advance directive was he wanted to see King Yudhishthir to be enthroned as king. Not just, yes, yes, ho jayega, ho jayega nahi. He wanted to see him with a crown, with a royal insignia, Raj Danda ke saath unko dekhna tha unko. And he wanted to have Krishna's darshan at the moment of death. And Krishna knew these two advance directives very clearly. So what Krishna did? He was there in the battlefield lying this, but he waited till he enthroned Yudhishthir. The ceremony of Rajabhishek was done. He was already Rajabhishek ho gaya uska. He became king, he got the crown, he got the royal insignia, and he dressed up as a king, and Krishna said, come on, let's go to battlefield. Now when you go to see a dying person, any dying person, do you dress gorgeously? How do you dress generally? What do you wear? White, right? Generally you wear white. And that was simplest possible sadra paisama or sari you will wear. You will not ornament yourself, put lipstick and put hairstyle and go to parlor. No. But Krishna told Yudhishthir and Pandavas, all of you dress in royal dress as royal people, now as ministers of the kingdom of Kurukshetra, Hastinapur. So they all dressed up very gorgeously. प्लस राजदंड, नो हा मा अदब बा मुला हिजा बोलते ना वो, ऐसे राजदंड महाराज आ रहे हैं ऐसे, ऑल द एंटराज केम टू द बैटल फील्ड एंड दे हैड ब्यूटिफुल डिस्कशन. इफ यू रीड महाभारत, दे हैड ब्यूटिफुल डिस्कशन. यू सी ऑल दिस पीपल, दिस इज कृष्णा एंड द फाइव पांडवाज आर सिटिंग एंड सम एल्डरली पीपल आर देयर, सम ऋषिज वर देयर, वेदव्यास वाज देयर ऑल्सो, एंड ही हैड एसोसिएशन ऑफ सेंटली पीपल विच ही डिजायर्ड. He wanted to meet these beloved people at the moment of his death. And then what Krishna did? Krishna told, he please instruct Yudhishthira. Now you can imagine, somebody is having arrows in the body. Can he give a class? Can he come and give end-of-life lecture in the morning here? He sits in the deathbed. So he said, Krishna touched him. Krishna touched him and all his pain went away. He became painless. So again, therapy of making patient painless, pain-free by pain management. Krishna had his unique way, divine way, but message for us is that make patients pain-free before they go, so they don't have to deal with the pain while they are going. At least they can deal only with the pain of death while going, not with the pain of the body while going. And then there's something called as Bhishma Parva in the Mahabharata, where Bhishma Dev has taught Yudhishthira, this is Yudhishthira, taught him all the science of all dharma, Raja dharma, Sri dharma, Apad dharma, all kinds of dharma, Brahman dharma, Sri dharma, Kshatriya dharma, whatever rules and regulations are there, everything he taught. So it is said, if you don't have time to read 100,000 verses of Mahabharata, read only Aranya Parva, teachings of Bhishma Dev. So he explained everything. In this situation, with millions of arrows, it is said that 3.5 crores of arrows were there in the body of Bhishma Dev. Because at each, every hair follicle, there was one arrow. It's supposed to be around 3.5 crore hair follicles on your body, average. And he had put so many arrows that when not a single finger can go between the two arrows. And then, when all duties are over, everything is fine, Krishna came over here, like this. So Bhishma Dev is now able to see Krishna. Krishna is holding hand and touching his feet. He also, with the arrowed hands, he also feels like this. And with tears in his eyes, holding hands, offering prayers to Krishna, watching Krishna with his eyes, beholding the beautiful form of Lord, he passed away. So something like this we need to achieve in our patience. We may not be Krishna, we may not be Arjuna, we may not be Yudhishthira, or we may not be Bhishma also. The patient may not be Bhishma also. But we know, why we know this? Because we know how the best ideal situations can be and should be. In our given situation, with our given little efforts, how we can achieve the perfection. So the goal of end-of-life care is to see that the patient remembers the Lord somehow or other. Lord was physically there in case of Bhishma. He may not be there physically there for the you and me or for the patients. But his name is there, which is not different from me. We chant the holy name, keep calling the holy name, pray to the Lord, put tulsi next to the patient, keep praying, put tulsi water on his mouth, talk to him, keep talking to him. He may not respond to you. Tell him, uncle, don't worry, the Lord is with you, the holy name is with you, just think of the Lord, thus pass away, we are all with you, the Lord is with you, he is waiting for you, don't worry, don't be attached, just take the name of the Lord and go. Ye dialogue humko bolte rehna padta hai constantly. With no response from patient, you have to, with full faith, you have to keep on talking. Because the patient is listening to you, although he is not able to respond to you. Okay? You see this, another final desire he had. Then he was actually on the battlefield. He said, I want to drink water. So there are how many ways of giving water in the water on the battlefield? You can send, hey servant, come here, go to the tambu. Go to the tent and bring water. That's one way of doing things. Right? So Duryodhana immediately, as a kingly man, hey Dushyasana, go and bring water for grandfather. Bhishma said, no, I am on the battlefield. Give me water like a warrior would like to have. Arjuna, you give me water. So what Arjuna did? He took out his arrow, he chanted Ganga mantra and he shot on the ground. And Mother Ganga appeared. See this? This is water. This is the water falling in the mouth of Bhishma Dev. So this is the respectful fulfilling desire of a warrior, befitting a warrior. So he shot an arrow, and because Ganga was the mother of Bhishma Dev, also Arjun knew that he would love to meet his mother. So there is one picture, it's not here, where Mother Ganga came incognito. Nobody knew, nobody saw. But she came and met her son. And he said, "Son, you have done enough now. Now you can leave." She said, "No, I want to see Yudhishthir as the king, and I want to see Krishna as my final witness, final darshan." So he lived there. So this is how you can see the situation. If people are learned, intelligent, and spiritually also having a lot of substance, then they can do such kind of service. Because there is another example, long stories are there. This is Brahmaji incarnated as Haridas Thakur. He also had his, I don't have pictures, but he also had his end of life advance directives. What was his directive? He wanted the Lord, he met the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told that, "I know very soon you are going to leave this world. I don't want to be witness of your last chapter. I want to go before that. And I have a desire. I have three desires, my Lord. I have a desire that your lotus feet should be held by me to my chest. Your lotus face I want to behold before I die. And your holy name I want to chant by my mouth. In this situation, I would like to leave." So next the Lord came. So he said, "So Haridas, what is the news?" So Haridas said, "Whatever mercy you are going to give me, that is the news." So then it was learned by everybody that this is the last day. So Lord did kirtan, he did blessings of everybody. Then they put him on the lap of one person. Like you can imagine, one person sitting here, in his lap he is put. The Lord was put on the stool, something like a little higher position. And Lord was like this, in front. He was like this. And then he desired, "My Lord, give me your lotus feet." So Lord just offered his feet. He held his feet on the chest. And he was watching like this. So watching the Lord's lotus face, tears were flowing from his eyes. And he was saying, "Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya." And he left. And then the Lord danced, holding his body, chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So what I am trying to tell you is, I will not show anything here. What is important is, somehow or other, maybe I'll have some more pictures, I'll just see. Somehow or other, one needs to connect the dying person with the Lord. That you have to understand. Okay, there's one slide here that I can show you. Somehow or other, you have to see that you need to bring the person in contact with the Lord. See what happened to Putana. All of you know Putana? The lady who came to kill Krishna as an infant baby by giving poisonous breast milk. But what happened? She came in contact with the lips of Krishna, which sucked all the milk and poison and life also. And what happened? She was transformed into servant of Mother Yashoda in the spiritual world. She was such a ghastly woman. She had 12 miles ghastly body. Such a demoniac lady. She used to drink the blood of infants. But because she was touched with the lips at her breast, she was delivered. Now think of Ahilya. She was wife of Gautam Rishi. Lord Ram stepped on her when she was in the form of a stone. As soon as Lord's foot touched the stone, she was transformed. And she was sent to Saket, Ayodhya Dham. And of course, many stories are there. The last one you may know, Gajendra, all of you must have heard. The elephant who was a Gandharva king in previous life. He came as elephant this time, you know, elephant king. And he was bathing in the Mandakini river pond. And then suddenly crocodile held his feet. And then crocodile is a water animal. Elephant is a land animal. So however strong the king was, because the situation was not favorable for, and it was not favorable for crocodile. Crocodile went on becoming more and more stronger, and elephant became more and more weaker. And finally, at the moment of, he understood, "Now I cannot be fighting anymore." They fought for 1,000 years. And the crocodile became powerful. And at one point of time, the Gajendra became helpless. So he came to a realization that now I cannot survive. So what he did? He plucked one lotus flower from the pond and threw in the sky and called the Lord, "Oh Lord, hey Govind, hey Gopal, please save me. And instantly it is said from Vaikuntha, Lord Vishnu came. And he had Garuda. No, he took Garuda as his vehicle. And he was driving Garuda so fast that Garuda actually fainted on the way. Because it was like an emergency, na? You have to reach right away. So Garuda could not match up with the Lord's need of the speed. What the Lord did. Lord put Garuda on his back and came down. And he nursed Garuda later on. But he instantly came and took Gajendra out of the clutch of crocodile. And crocodile also was delivered because he put chakra and cut the crocodile's head. Crocodile got delivered, he became Gandharva. He also had a curse. And he took out elephant out, and because of touch of the Lord, he became purified, completely purified. He regained his original form of king of Gandharva. So what is important is, you have to bring the patient in touch with the Lord. When you bring the patient in touch with the Lord, then there is deliverance. And the deliverance is your benevolence, your kindness, your kind heart of compassion. That is a benediction for the soul. So what I'm saying is, everybody can become doctor. There's nothing great. You study, you get admission, you get qualified, you get exam, you become doctor. But not necessarily you'll all become very good in human beings unless you want to be, unless you learn to be, unless you practice to be. So this is the additional science that we are telling you here. That there are many, many more things than medical science. It's not the end of life that you have medical knowledge and that's it. There are many things beyond your medical science that you don't know. You're always mystified. But this science is the perfect science that will make you a perfect doctor. And people will worship you as a doctor. Why? He's not only doctor. He's God's doctor. He has also holy name with him. He's worshipable. He's divine. So let us understand end-of-life care with this vision. We need to be spiritual and we need to understand at what point of time to bring Lord in contact with the patient. That wisdom has to be there with you. You should be able to decide how to counsel a dying person and how to actually make his departure a mahotsava, a festival. Not necessarily all time, you know, crying, ghastly, horrible, fearful situation, unwanted. Why all time? I don't want to die in a very ghastly, fearful situation. I want to die in a very happy situation. I want to meet my Lord. I want to prepare to meet my Lord at the moment of death. So, all is possible, provided we know. And provided we know how to also practice and help the patient to do so. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.